Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Find out today on Change by Grace. Welcome to Change by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. What is the next event for the church that the Bible speaks about? The rapture. Jesus Christ is coming to catch away His church to be with Him. When will this happen? And what will be the events surrounding this time? Well, let's find out today as we study together from 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." God will resurrect the dead in Christ, and that's because of Christ's resurrection. He says there, going back to 1 Thessalonians 4, "I don't want you to be ignorant. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Because Jesus arose, so will His followers." He says, "Even so, God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus." That's kind of a difficult phrase to interpret, especially when you've already seen it in verse 13 of chapter 3. Because at the end of the verse, He says, "That He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." Now, you know, as we've been going through the book of Revelation, that we have been into many different interpretations of different passages about the coming of Christ. But I want you to understand that the major emphasis of this passage is to offer hope to a sobbing group of people that does not understand what took place with their loved ones. I remember many times teaching this passage and still trying to understand some of the views and saying, "Listen, well, I can teach the passage because we don't get hung up in timings anyway. We can't time it when the Lord's going to return, but we can study the signs and the seasons." What's He mean by that phrase? "Even so, God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus." Well, there's a possibility. Go to Jude, that small epistle right before Revelation. And notice something that he says at verse 14. "Now Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." We see here in this day, when God takes out vengeance on apostates, that He'll come back with His saints. And we see that clear in the book of Revelation. But again, what does He mean here in verse 14? "That even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus." Is this referring to Him rapturing and then turning around and coming back to the earth? Again, it raises a lot of questions. But need to think this in mind here. If Jesus did not actually rise from the grave, our Christian hope has no justification. He did rise just as He said He would, and He gave the promise that those who believe will be raised at the last day, at the resurrection of life. Look with me over at John 5:28. Jesus says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Go to chapter 6, look at verse 39. "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all He has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
The Jews then complained about him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that when he says, 'I have come down from heaven,' Jesus therefore answered and said to them, 'Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day.'" That's at least the third time we've heard that phrase. A promised resurrection. Even in chapter 6 and verse 54, you hear this phrase, that whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will what? Raise him up at the last day. Now, just taking in consideration everything we've studied thus far in Revelation, what is he referring to here? I think some of this is going to become fuller as we understand it, looking at verses 6 and 16 and 17, but let me just suffice it to say that this phrase, even in verse 14, "even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus," certainly has some kind of time period here with comparing Scripture with Scripture. Those who die in the Lord, immediately they go to be with Jesus Christ. They're in conscious bliss, but their bodies remain here until that day comes of this passage it's referring to, and also 1 Corinthians 15, when it talks about a resurrection, that we will be given glorified bodies. And then, as we have already studied, that in the very end, that God will come back, Jesus will come back, and His saints will follow Him. I think that this is referring to that period. What else does Jesus say here? Or rather, Paul say? God will resurrect the dead in Christ because of Christ's resurrection. And verse 15 says also because of God's Word. He says, "For this we say to you by the Word of the Lord." And the word "for" there, gar, again, it introduces the authority for the statement just made. It was based upon a revelation from the Lord. This verse here indicates the character of the revelation in verse 14. What Paul has just stated was by the Word of the Lord. This indicates the source of this revelation. It was revelation made in connection with a communication from the mouth of the Lord Himself. He could even read this way, "For this we say to you in the Word of the Lord." Now, is Paul referring to a teaching already given in Scripture? Or did the Lord specifically give him something else? Well, we don't really know the answer to that. Because we know in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he was called up to the third heavens, and things that were given to him he couldn't utter. He says that this we say to you. You is in the emphatic position. And what it's doing here is stressing the revealed truth now being spoken of is given in the special interest of the readers. He's saying, I'm telling you this by the authority, by the Word of God, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. And now we see here in the second part of verse 15, this is providing a corrective for their sorrowing. See, he's continuing to build. He's continuing to give them information about the coming of the Lord. And here he is saying, listen, we don't have any advantage over those who died in the Lord. They will immediately enter His presence. We are still here on the earth. The very moment they die, they go into His presence. We who are alive and remain, what will happen? Well, that's what he says there in verse 17 when he tells us what will happen. Notice that there's a play on words here. We who are alive and remain versus those who are asleep. Paul received this revelation either directly, or he was reiterating revelation. Certainly you could say that he's received revelation when he says here, "This we say to you by the Word of the Lord." The revelation that the living will not have any advantage over the dead at the return of Christ, it makes any further feeling of sorrow for the dead wholly unjustified. The two classes of believers at the Lord's return are those who are still alive and those who have died, and they will unitedly share the same destiny. That's just like someone who's been a Christian for 20 years and someone gets saved on their deathbed. The reward will be the same. The last will finish first. So Paul says we have no advantage over those who have died. So that answers that question. And then he says that we will by no means precede those who are asleep. That is, we won't go before them. And then in verses 16 and 17, he's continuing with the corrective for their sorrowing. And he specifically gives detailed events about the rapture. And again, this is to replace the sorrow. It's to cause them not to be ignorant any longer about this event. What does he say? Verse 16, Jesus will return. You know, it's sad to say that there are churches, number one, that don't teach about the return of Christ. Secondly, there are churches that don't teach it because they don't believe it. And again, some Christians live like that. You say you believe in Jesus returning, then live in the light of His return. What does that mean? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. Notice what John says will happen when you're living in the light of His return. He says, chapter 3, verse 2, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. See, when you live in the light of the return of Christ, you're living a holy life. You're seeking to kill sin in your body. That's living in the light of His return. That is fearing the Lord. Well, he begins again with the word for, but this time he uses a different Greek word, and it could be better translated because. Because the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. See, this here justifies the preceding statement by a fuller description of the Lord's return. See, again, he's just continuing to build. Well, what does he say? Verse 16. That Jesus will personally return for His own. He says there, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven. He will not merely send His angels to call the saints. He will return physically for them in His glorified body. This is a fulfillment of John 14:3. You remember when Jesus is seeking to comfort the disciples because He has just told them that He was leaving? And they were sobbing, and He says, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in Me. And then everybody likes this classic verse, In my Father's house are many mansions. And then we think that we're going to have mansions. You know, I'm not going to be rich in this world, but I'll be rich in heaven, and I'll have mansions. I'll have my own mansions. I hate to bust your bubble, but that's not what the word means. I mean, the translators have messed us up here. It's the word for dwelling places. You can read back this way, In my Father's house are many dwelling places, or literally, many rooms. And it carries the idea in Jewish culture that you didn't have what you have today when a family member gets married, and they move off and they build their own family and so forth. No, what happened was that during that time when you got married, they would just add on another room to the father's house. And see, that makes more sense. In my Father's house are many rooms, not mansions. You're not living eight blocks down on the right. You're in the Father's house. And so Jesus says in that promise, in that fulfillment of that promise, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is a personal statement to them that He would come back. And if He doesn't come back for His own, then He lied. Paul is saying here, the Lord Himself will descend from heaven. Remember in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus was leaving, you remember the scenario here? It says in Acts 1, in verse 9, Now when He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. He's going to come back the same way He left.
with the clouds of heaven.
Praise the Lord. Listen to what Matthew 24:30 says. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And even John says in Revelation 1:7, behold, He comes with clouds, and every eye will see Him, even they who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so, amen. So what is taking place? Jesus will return. He will personally return for His own. He will descend from heaven. Secondly, He will summons those in the graves. It says the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout. That word shout, that noun there, it means a shout of command. It implies authority and urgency. You know what I hear right here? This is what I hear. John 5:25, I just read to you, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. It's just like Him saying to Lazarus, come forth. And if he didn't call Lazarus by name, every grave would have opened. See, that's the shout of the Lord, summoning those from the grave. What's the third thing that will take place? He says the archangel will sound. He says in verse 16, He says that the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. The voice here is phoine, and it could be translated sound, the sound of an archangel. What is archangel here? Well, we've studied angels in the past, but there's only one mentioned where this Greek word is used, and it's found in Jude 9 where it's used of Michael. It could be that Michael the archangel accompanies the Lord. And we hear the Lord Jesus Himself summoning us from the grave. Well, not us if we haven't left, but those who have died before us. And then we see the voice of an archangel. One writer says it may denote a vocal utterance by the archangel, or a sound or a tone produced by him. And then we see the trumpet will sound. Let me read you a verse that's found in Matthew 24:31. It says that He will send His angels with the great sound of a trumpet. So this sound may be the sound of the trumpet. They will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. You know, in ancient times, in ancient Israel, trumpets were used to announce very important convocations. It was blown to gather Israel together at Mount Sinai to receive the law. It was blown at the beginning of war times. It was blown as a sign of victory over Israel's enemies. But you know, even in Revelation chapter 1, when John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, verse 10 tells us that he heard behind him a loud voice. He says that loud voice was as of a trumpet. It was commanding, it was authoritative, it was piercing. What did that voice say? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Alpha and Omega, that's the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. Commanding, authoritative. The Lord descends from heaven. He summons those in the grave. The archangel will sound. The trumpet will sound. And then what does it say? The dead in Christ will rise. Again, do you see an advantage over those who are alive at His coming, having an advantage over those who died and already went to be with the Lord? None whatsoever. He said the dead in Christ will rise first. Here's your parallel passage, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. You know what's going to happen? At the very moment that we come from the grave, we're going to be given glorified bodies. Bodies fit for heaven. You know that there is a body also for hell? You seen that? Go with me to Matthew 10. Jesus says, verse 27, Matthew 10, just as a rabbi would do, he would speak something into the ear of his student. And he says, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna, hell. The unbelieving, the unrighteous, the wicked will have a body fit for hell that will not be able to be consumed by the flame, but will experience the torment, the pain, the anguish, all that is associated with that dreadful period, that dreadful time that will go on forever and ever with no relief. Well, Jesus will return. He will personally return for His own. Secondly, verse 17 says, He will rapture His church. The word rapture doesn't occur in the Bible. The word rapture is the Latin word rapturo. It's where we get the word rapture from. The word that's used here, and it's defined as a catching away, it's the Greek word harpazo. It means to be caught up or to be snatched or catched or caught away. Catched away, that's all right. An example of this elsewhere in Scripture is like, you remember the story with Philip. He was snatched away by the Spirit in Acts 8:39, where it says that when they came up out of the water, you remember when he baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, it says there, the Spirit of the Lord harpazo Philip away. He caught him away. He snatched him away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And the eunuch went away rejoiced. It's a snatching away. It was also used of Paul being caught up to the third heaven. Go with me there to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice what he says. It says in verse 2, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was harpazo. He was snatched away. He was caught up to the third heaven. And he says there, even in verse 4, he uses the word again, how he was caught up into paradise, and heard inexpressible words which is not lawful for a man to utter. So that word, what's it mean? Well, it denotes a sudden, forcible seizure, an irresistible act of catching away, it due to divine activity. You know what I like? I like what we studied here in Revelation. You remember that in Revelation? When all of a sudden, those saints appeared in heaven, and everybody's going, who are these? Who are these people worshiping the Lamb? These are those who had been caught up. These are those who had been snatched away. And we see that in Revelation. He says that in Revelation 7:9, after these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And they join right in with the angelic host that are praising God. What a wonderful day. So what is this described as? Well, it's described as being caught up in the clouds. He says, verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall sometimes be with the Lord. Is that what it says? Well, it might say that if you weren't listening. But if you were listening, you find out that that is not what it said. We will always be with the Lord. See how this turns into comfort? See how this is comforting news to those who are ignorant about end time events? Listen, it's going to get bad to worse. You know all these hurricanes that have happened all around here. I was talking to somebody the other day before taking off from the last hurricane and then coming back before it hit because of its change of direction. I was telling him, I said, you know, we got talking about these storms, and I said, well, you know, it's just like the judgment of God. I said, there are people out there that they here it's going to happen. They might look at the charts. They might look at the radars. But they say, oh, it's not going to come here. So they want to ride it out, thinking they're going to deliver themselves from this great, huge storm. Listen, when they put up on the screen that a storm is the size of Texas, I'm leaving. You know, all those storms that were swirling around out there in the Atlantic, they were all bigger than Florida. Weren't they? You know what I was thinking of? I'm getting my family out of here. You know, if that's the Lord's will, I'd have to think twice. Lord, what do I do? I'm gone. You know? The only thing I was praying all the time was where to go? Because I was fearful of driving right in its path. See, you can't escape the judgment of God. That's why John said to the Pharisees and scribes when they came on his baptism, who has warned you to flee the wrath to come? The only way that you're going to escape judgment is to repent of your sin and turn to Jesus. That's the only way. It's not going to be hiding out in Revelation 6 when they hid in the rocks of the caves and they cried out for the rocks of the caves to fall down on them and hide them from the face of the Lamb. It ain't going to be any of that. And it's not going to deliver anyone from judgment. The only deliverance that's going to come is by bowing your knee to Jesus, submitting your life to Jesus. Paul says, find comfort in these words. Quit sorrowing like unbelievers that have no hope. Here is the hope. That's why he could say in verse 18, therefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, I have found even preaching a funeral for an unbeliever that I can preach these words and I can tell unbelievers, listen, here's why we have hope. And this is the only way you can have hope. And it's not, I'm not trying to preach the benefits of the gospel, but I'm trying to say, listen, there are also believers in the room. Listen, you have hope. We have hope.
And our hope is found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. You've been listening today to the rapture of the church from 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. This message is available today on cassette tape for $3 or on CD for $5. To place your order, call us at 904-651-3351 or visit our website at www.changebygrace.org. If you prefer ordering by mail, then send your check or money order to Change by Grace, P.O. Box 26041, Jacksonville, Florida 32226. Change by Grace is a ministry of Change by Grace Community Church, located at 49 North Bolin Street in Jacksonville, Southside. For service times, call us at 904-651-3351. Well, I'm Pastor Steve Herford, and I want to thank you for listening as we've studied the Word of God together today.